Tonight, our speaking person, Brother Terry Hill, we're out of Wink, Texas. His topic, I'm Not Ashamed, Luke chapter 9 and verse 26. Let us listen to Brother Hill's message. Brother Hill.
Oh, thank you, Brother Tommy. Well, you know, we live in a really sad time, I believe, because many political leaders and actors and people like that will publicly ridicule those that believe in God, those that believe in Jesus, those that believe in the Bible. And it's they just don't believe what's there, and they ridicule those who do. But it's sad to say that many religious leaders do not believe many of the things that we will study in this lesson. But we, as children of God and those who wish to be children of God, must not be ashamed. For Jesus said in Luke verse 9, chapter 9 and verse 26, "For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels." So if we're ashamed of Jesus and we're ashamed of his words, we shall find ourselves ashamed. We notice in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, Paul said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to Jew first, and also to the Greek." When we read the writings of Paul as are recorded in the scripture for us, we see that certainly Paul was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, nor was he ashamed of the Christ of the gospel. He proclaimed it boldly. But we notice, as we look at things that we must believe and think about, what does the world believe? But that really doesn't matter. I like what Brother Tommy says, that the Bible is always right. The Bible is right. It's always right. So think about, and I'd like to say that I'm not ashamed to confess that I believe in the virgin birth of Jesus. Now, that may sound like a simple statement, but I have talked to religious leaders, preachers of different denominations, that said they did not believe in the virgin birth of Jesus. And that's a sad thing, because in Isaiah 7:14, Isaiah prophesied, saying, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." And Matthew chapter 18, chapter 1 and verse 18 beginning, we see as the book of Matthew opens, it talks to us about the birth of Jesus. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. When Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, and minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, and he shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted, God is with us." So we see that here it was prophesied it would happen, and now it is coming to pass. And if you'd like to read about the life of Jesus from his birth until about the time he was 12 years old, you can read Luke chapter 2, that lead that chapter, and you will read about Jesus' birth and up until he was about 12 years old. So I would ask, are you ashamed to confess that you believe that Jesus was born of a virgin? I would be ashamed to be ashamed. But we see that another is, I'm not ashamed to confess that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. How many people are ashamed to confess that, to say that they believe that Jesus is the Son of God? We know God was not ashamed, for in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 17, God spoke from heaven saying, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 5, again, God spoke from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Jesus himself spoke these words in John 3 and verse 16 and 17 as he was moved by God to say, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Yes, I'm not ashamed to confess that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It's amazing how many folks do not believe that or are ashamed to confess they believe that. Why? Maybe because they're afraid they might lose some friends, or maybe because that wouldn't seem to be politically correct according to the political climate of our day. But on one day, when we all stand before God in the judgment, they'll realize their mistake. We know another is, I'm not ashamed to confess that I believe that the words of Jesus are now binding. They are the words that we must go by. They are the words of life. They are the words by which we will be judged on the final day. Jesus says in John 12:48, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judges them. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him on the last day." God is not going to, Jesus is not going to judge us according to, just whatever. He's going to judge us by his words, and we'll be asked, "Did you obey? Did you? Or did you do as you please?" In Romans 1, verse 16, Paul writes, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, you first and also the Greek." The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation, and it is to those who believe. In Matthew 24 and verse 35, Jesus himself said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." There's words are with us here in life. Those words will be meet us at the judgment, and there will be a judgment day. So what will we do with his words? And I'm not ashamed to confess that I believe that the Bible is the Word of God. You notice in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17, Paul writes to Timothy, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." You notice then Paul admonishes Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15, and us, to study, to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. How will it be on the day of judgment if, when we're asked just for one scripture, how many folks would not be able to repeat to God or to Christ a scripture that was given in the Bible? We're told to study. That is not a wish or a whim if you would like. That is a commandment. Study to show thyself approved unto God. We're commanded to study God's word. We need to learn and know God's word, know what he's teaching. We cannot obey what we do not know. We cannot obey what we've never heard. And so we're commanded to study, because someday this word will face us in the judgment. Jesus said, "The words that I speak, the same should judge you in the last day." In Revelation 22 and verse 18 and 19, at the close of the Bible, almost the last verses, John writes, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of this book this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city, and from the things that are written in this book." How many folks remove things from the Bible that they don't like? How many denominations do we have out there that will change God's words or will teach that things that Jesus taught are not necessary, that you don't have to do everything Jesus said, and they will have their own agenda as to what men must do. Rather than listening to Jesus and hearing his words, they will change it. They might not change it in the book itself, but they will change the teaching to try to get folks to follow them as they have their own ideas and their own agenda. There were some folks followed Paul to Galatia, and they began to teaching error. They taught another doctrine, and Paul writes to the Galatian brethren, and he says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you under the grace of Christ to another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that would trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. If anyone teaches anything different than Paul had already taught them, let him be accursed. Why? Because they are changing the words, and changing the book, and they shall be condemned. He notes that quite plainly for us. And we know, I'm not ashamed to confess that I believe that Jesus died for our sins. How many people do not believe that? We see in Matthew chapter 27, in the whole chapter, Matthew 27, Mark 15, Luke 23, and John chapter 19, the gospel account of Jesus' death, his crucifixion on the cross for the remission of our sins. Paul, writing to the Roman brethren in Romans chapter 5 and verse 6, said, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Why did he go to the cross? He went because for the ungodly. And verse 8 he says, but God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And verse 10 he says, for if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled we shall be saved by his life. Yes, Jesus died for our sins. I'm not ashamed to confess that I believe that. He died for my sins. He died for your sins. And that was his purpose in coming. We see that another thing we could think about is, I'm not ashamed to confess that I believe that Jesus was resurrected from the dead. Here again, I was speaking to a denominational preacher, and for some reason, as we were talking, I got the idea that he didn't believe in the resurrection of Jesus. And so I asked him, do you believe in the resurrection of Jesus? And he said, no. No, he did not believe that. And we know that there are some religious groups that teach that Jesus did not and will not ever be raised from the dead. But we notice, if you read in the gospel account of Jesus' resurrection, you can read Matthew chapter 28, Mark chapter 16, Luke chapter 24, and John chapter 20. There gives the gospel account of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And Paul, reminding the brethren at Corinth what he had preached to them previously in chapter 15 and verse 1 through 8, he says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory that which I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain in this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. And Romans chapter 4 and verse 25, Paul writes, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Yes, he was raised again for our justification. The things that Jesus did when he came to save us. That was his purpose. And then Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 through 20, he says this, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, was manifested these last times for you. We see that here is Jesus came and to save us from our sins. He died to save us from our sins. He was resurrected for our justification. And I'm not ashamed to confess that I believe that Jesus is coming again. We'll have those who do not believe that, though they claim to be religious. I was amazed not long ago that I read an announcement from a denomination, and that this particular congregation of that denomination, they were proud about their new preacher that they have, and it was wonderful. They've got a new preacher, and he is an atheist. Now, how could an atheist be a preacher for people who claim to be followers of Christ? But Jesus is coming again, and there are going to be a lot of shocked people because he is coming. And 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16, Paul writes, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God." Jesus himself says in Matthew 25:31, "Then when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory." We read that judgment scene in Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 through 46. He notes those who are going to heaven when he'll say, "Well done," and welcome them into the kingdom. And then there'll be those who he says, "Depart." And that's going to be quite a shock for some folks who think that they're going to be saved just because they're a good person. If everyone who is a good person is going to be saved without Jesus, then Jesus died in vain. He did not have to die. We notice that I'm also not ashamed to confess that I believe that there will be a resurrection of all the dead. Now, we have those religious groups that teach that not everyone is going to be raised, only the righteous ones. All the sinners will stay in the grave. They'll never know. They'll never be raised from the dead. But hear what Jesus says in John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29. "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Yes, all of the dead are going to be raised. We will all be there. We will all stand in the judgment. So I'm not ashamed to confess that I believe that there will be a final day of judgment in which all of us will be there. Hebrews 9:27 said, "It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment." You know, no one's going to be too busy that day. We have folks that are not much too busy to come and worship God. They're too busy to become Christians. They're too busy to do what God has asked. They're too busy to do what Christ has asked. But on that day, they will not be too busy, and no one will miss that appointment. It is an appointment we all have with death and the judgment. The wise man Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13 and 14, after he had tried everything to find out about what is the meaning of life and what is the purpose of life. And he writes this as he concludes that book. "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into the judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." Paul's talking to the preaching to the people at the men at Athens, says in Acts chapter 17, verse 30 and 31, as he closes that sermon, "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead." And 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10 and 11, Paul writes to the Corinthian brethren, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in the body according to how they have done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." In Romans chapter 14, Paul writes, verse 10 through 12, "For we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself. Do you realize that there are many who call themselves atheists today? Those who say they don't believe in God and don't believe in Jesus, they will all believe then, because on the day of judgment, when they stand before the judgment seat, there will be no atheist. There will be no agnostics. Everyone will confess, though it'll be too late for many, but they will. You know, I'm not ashamed to confess that I believe that heaven is real. Now, Jesus says to us, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1. And I'm not ashamed to confess that I believe that hell is real. Jesus himself says in Luke chapter 12, verse 5, I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which hath killed, after he hath killed, hath power to cast into hell, him fear. Well, think about all of the things that we can talk about, but the last one is, I'm not ashamed to confess that I believe that eternity is real, and we're all going to spend eternity somewhere, heaven or hell. Are you ready for eternity? We must get ready for eternity, and Jesus tells us how. He tells us we must hear him. God himself spoke from heaven, saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. We must believe Jesus and his word. In John 12, 8 and verse 24, he said, I said therefore unto you, you should die in your sins. If you believe not that I am he, you should die in your sins. And John chapter 12, verse 48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same should judge him in the last day. Yes, we must believe in Jesus and believe his words. And we must confess our faith in Christ. We see in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father, which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny before men, deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. And we're told to repent of our sins, Luke 13:3. Tell you nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. Peter preached that gospel sermon on the first Pentecost after the resurrection of Jesus. And he preached Christ and him crucified. And when they realized what they had done, they asked, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter answered the question then and forever. Repent and be baptized, every one of them, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. And Saul, when he was repentant and believed in Jesus, Ananias the preacher said to him, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. We see that we're called to be faithful. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a life, crown of life, Revelation 2 and verse 10. We see how quickly we can go through what we need to do and decide for ourselves, will heaven be my home? Will I go to heaven? Or will I miss heaven? I want to say this. If you miss heaven, you will have missed it all. The most wonderful thing that can come, or the worst thing that can come, is that. Well, the lesson is yours. But if you would like the study notes for this lesson, email me at terry@usermail.com, and I'll be glad to email you a copy of these notes. But look on the website for the Nationwide Gospel Call, and you'll find a lot of good study material there, a lot of lessons by other men who will help you to find your way. All of this is to help you find your way unto salvation. Brother Tommy?